Sit or lie back and make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes and as you settle in, I want to first of all express my appreciation to everyone who's participating in this anxiety project. The conversations that we've had so far, the changes that are happening in people's lives are truly extraordinary. And so, for all of us, from all of us, thank you. So just check in now and see if you're as comfortable as you can be for right now, and if you need to move a little and readjust your physical posture to be more comfortable, do that. And then allow the awareness, the attention to move inward. Find the breath. Let yourself just be with the breath. Letting everything go. Just being. Sinking into what's supporting you. Letting go any concern or interest in anything other than right here, right now. Just breathing and relaxing. And noticing. Thoughts may drift by, and that's fine. Just notice their arrival and notice as they pass away. Attention might wander to a sensation in the body or a feeling, an emotion. Just notice. Let it be. You're just breathing. Just being. In the last imagery, we were practicing looking directly at anxiety in the form of the snakes. Noticing what it's like to give full attention to something we've experienced as terrifying. Something we've been convinced we cannot possibly face. We won't be able to stand it. It'll be too much. And, as is completely understandable, the first reaction for many folks at the very thought of confronting anxiety was fear. All those, oh no, reactions are the ways that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate hides and protects itself. So, of course, a threat to ego's ability to control us is going to be met with massive resistance. Completely understandable. In awareness practice, we use as our primary device for teasing apart our experience as human beings the understanding that there are three players involved in a human incarnation. Agreeing with the perspective of non-separate reality as a starting point, even if that's not our experience, we begin with the first of those three, that which animates. The capital one that is all. Intelligence, wisdom, love, and compassion, divinity, the unconditional. And next, we consider the creature animated by that supreme reality, the human incarnation, the awareness embodied in a form, endowed with all the senses and capabilities that support life as a human being. That's what we consider to be us, ourself. And the third player is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. The illusion of a person that is separate from the all that is all. An imaginary self that sees itself as other than the rest of life. In this practice, we often talk about this illusion as a parasite, something like a virus or mistletoe, something that attaches itself to a living form and feeds off of that living form's life force. Now, a human being is unique in that we are the only creatures with the ability to imagine realities other than what is. This unique ability was activated long before we can remember, when we were convinced to stop looking to the intelligence animating us for guidance, and to look instead to the previously egocentrically, karmically conditioned, self-hating humans who were raising us. It's helpful for us to realize that in childhood, we were the victims of victims. We had parents doing with us what was done to them. That's just how karma works. There's really no need for reviews or to assign blame. We can simply end the suffering here with us. Awareness practice guides us to reverse that original turn. We are now in the process of withdrawing attention from ego and returning it to the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our true, our authentic nature. The enormous difficulty we run into is that we've lost the ability to tell which is which. Which is authenticity and which is ego. Ego has been running everything for so long that we think it's who we are. Now, we can feel the difference between conscious, compassionate awareness and the self-hate of ego, but we're programmed to listen to and to believe the voices in the head. We're afraid to go against the ego voices. They threaten us. They punish us. They make us afraid of what will happen to us if we don't go along with them. What to do? Acceptance is the way to be in relationship with that fear. I want to look at anxiety. I want to be free of ego's punishing control, but I'm afraid. Of course we're afraid. We've been controlled by fear since we were little tiny people. We've coped and compensated and avoided and tried so hard to get it right, but we never have. Always the threats, the fear, the beatings. The voices in the head will want you to believe that the way out is pure nonsense. But nonsense it is not. And what we get to do in awareness practice is to prove it to and for ourselves. Acceptance. The secret sauce is acceptance. So, what does that mean in this case? It means, yes, of course I'm afraid. Well, you may ask, where does that get me? Where it gets us is in the very best position we can be in, not to be stopped by fear. Because when we accept that fear is what we're feeling, we get to realize that while the heart may be racing and the palms may be sweating, there is absolutely no problem because we are the awareness that is watching it happen. If we engage with the, oh no, ego conversation in the head, we're pulled in. It all begins to mean what the fear is meant for us to believe. This is awful. I can't stand it. It's too scary. But if we don't get pulled into that conversation, if we continue to watch, to give attention to the awareness, to observing, we quickly realize that there is nothing happening to me. Fear cannot do anything to us other than threaten, say scary things, and then tell us what we need to do to be safe. It's utter hogwash. And the way we know that is that doing what ego says has only kept us in fear, has never made us safe, has always made us suffer. If it could keep us safe, it would keep us safe from fear. Now, each of us knows what it's like for us when we're afraid. We know what the voices in the head say that makes us afraid, and we know how what the voices say keeps us in fear, keeps us looking to the voices for protection. the same voices creating fear are not going to be able to keep us from being afraid. No matter how small we agree to make our life, the voices will still keep us in fear. What now? Now we get to practice the way through fear, through anxiety, to the well-being, peace, freedom, and joy that is what we authentically are. So, take a couple of more nice, long, full, deep breaths. Bringing all of the attention and awareness to the breath. And now, imagine for a few moments that life circumstances have put you in a position to care for a small child who has been left without a caregiver. You have all the issues you always have in your life, and now you have the extra burden of someone who needs you for their care. But here you are. You've made it through dinner, bath, teeth brushing, and now it's time to turn out the lights and go to sleep. The child begins to cry. As the crying continues, you realize the child is shaking all over. What is it? You can feel the fear bubble up in you. What's going on? What's wrong? What should you do? In a flash of insight, you realize that your panic is not going to help the situation, and you shift attention from the panicked conversation inside your head and return attention to the child. It's so sad. You can just feel your heart soften. What is it? It's no longer coming from ego panic, but from compassion, from a genuine desire to assist another being to move from distress to well-being. You take the child's hands and look into those eyes brimming with tears, and with all the loving kindness you've been moved to feel, you gently ask, "What is it?" Trembling lips form the words, "I'm scared." Your heart melts. Gather the child up in your arms, holding the trembling little body, and ask, "What are you scared of?" "The monster," the child whimpers, convulsing with sobs. "What monster?" you ask. "The one in there," the child whispers, pointing at the closed closet door. "Oh," you breathe, the light dawning. "I see. That is scary. Do you want me to make it go away?" Big eyes, big nods. "Yes." "Okay, you wait right here, and I'll go make the monster leave." You open the door, turn on the light, look in, and report, "There's no monster in here." Enormous eyes let you know that is not believed. "If I hold you, will you come with me to look?" Very hesitant assent. You pick the child up and go over to the closet door. No monsters here, you report, but let's be sure. Let's look in and under and behind everything, just to be really sure, okay? The two of you go through the closet, top to bottom, and then extend the exploration to locked doors and windows under the bed. Ready for bed? A weak nod. Shall we leave the light on and the bedroom door open, just in case you need to call me? Another nod. And if you get scared again, will you call me so we can make sure there's nothing to be scared of? Bigger nod. Your assignment, between now and when we meet again, as often as you can, be the conscious, compassionate, unconditionally loving and accepting big person for any aspect of you that is afraid. Go through whatever progression you come up with, from I'm scared to let's explore it together to okay to yes to please let me know if you get scared again. When you feel complete with the process, send us your 50-word or fewer response about what you saw. Your submission will be due by noon Pacific on Monday, April 3rd. Gasho.